with all that is within you.
Hallelujah.
What is worthy of that?
Jesus.
All that, exactly. There is only one thing worthy of a blessing to be coming forth from us, and that is Christ himself. And he has created us with a new creation that has a capacity to bless the Holy One. Amen? So may we not restrain, but instead may the fullness of our life bless him and praise him. And we are so thankful that that is occurring every single day on this street we call Magnolia. We are so thankful for a daily opportunity of blessing the Lord among our neighbors. As we focus in on neighbors today, we do that every single day. And we are so thankful for those that serve in House of Hope and Agape Women's Center and our MICS, our school. From the youngest to the oldest, from the most crisis of a story to the most precious of one, we are able to introduce the gospel and celebrate. So if you are one of those that are working, that are volunteering, if you are one of those that have been served by one of those ministries, we just want to take a moment and just lay that before the Lord. We want to say thank you, Lord, for the opportunity. We want to say thank you, Lord, for being the one who is the provider, the one who is the good news that we get to share every single day. And we want to thank him that his glory is known on this street every single day. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we come before you, and Lord, it's thanksgiving that is in our hearts. Thank you for giving us the calling and the equipping to be able to be your hands and your feet and your mouthpiece on this very street that you've called us to. Thank you that you have placed us in this place that we get to celebrate you. We get to declare you, for you are worthy. You have changed our lives. You have transformed us. And Lord, what can we do except share? Share the gospel that has transformed us so dramatically. And so, Lord, we say thank you for the ministries on this street, and we ask for more. Lord, we ask that you would keep leading us and keep directing us so that our hearts would be set on you and that your name would be the name on this street. Your glory would be the glory on this street. And Lord, that you would continue to transform and change lives right before our very eyes. We love you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Aren't you thankful for all that God's doing? I didn't give you much prep time. Aren't you thankful for all that God is doing? Because the people that are viewing online, they probably don't know that a hurricane is coming. And so they need to know a testimony among this place. And it is a testimony that you are even here this morning. So thank you for being here. Thank you for being online. And together we're going to focus our hearts on all that God's doing. Because God is not simply working on Magnolia Avenue, but he is calling people like you and people like me throughout our entire community to participate in his gospel plan, his good news plan. And I want you to hear directly from someone that he's working in. He's working in this little town called Rockledge, and it's on this street called Cascade Circle, and he's using two of our own, Dylan and Victoria White, in a powerful way. As they come to the platform and share their story, I want to give you a little background of things you may not know. So let me tell you that in this past year or so, they both as a family have said yes to something that's really amazing. They've said yes to the Lord, and now they're a part of a ministry called Apartment Life. How many in here have no idea what Apartment Life is? That's what I thought. So let me tell you, it's an incredible thing, because it is a calling that they have said yes to, that they have allowed their home, and they've said yes to the Lord, and placed their home to be at Fountain Villas Apartment. And they've embraced the residents of Fountain Villas Apartment as their mission field. So Apartments Life mission statement is this: to radically transform lives in apartment communities by making Christ known. And they're at the beginning of this, yes. So there is seeds being planted, and they're able to see God do some really cool things. And we just wanted them to be able to share what God is at work in their neighborhood and with their neighbors, which is in this apartment. So would you welcome Dylan and Victoria?
Today we want to take a moment to reflect on a profound truth that guides our lives as followers of Christ, and that is, it's all about God. No matter how hard we try to be good or how many good deeds we accomplish, what truly matters is the goodness of God. His grace, mercy, and love are foundations upon which we build our faith. You see, God never demanded that we became super Christians to enter into ministry. That's a lie that we often told ourselves. The truth is, God invites us just as we are. It's not our perfection that qualifies us, it's His grace that empowers us. When we first came to Jesus, all we needed was that grace, and that grace is still all we need in order to grow in our walk with Him. In our time with Apartment Life Ministry, we've learned to lower our expectations of ourselves and others while we raised our expectations of God and His grace. It's a humbling realization, one that sets us free from pressures of perfection. Instead of striving for unattainable ideals, we can focus on what God is doing in and through us. Apartment Life is a beautiful expression of loving our neighbors. We've been blessed to find ourselves in a position where connecting with and serving our neighbors is at the forefront of our daily lives. When we first heard about Apartment Life, our initial reaction was, this sounds way too good to be true. But after a few weeks of prayer, we asked God for clarity. I prayed that if this is where He wanted us, that He would make it so abundantly clear that even I couldn't mess it up. Then, on a Sunday morning, just a few moments before the service was about to start, I was pulled aside to meet a missionary couple that was partnered with Apartment Life currently. That conversation was a pivotal moment for us. As the worship team began to play, I felt a deep conviction that the Lord was indeed calling us to serve through this ministry.
So far, God has allowed us to meet so many people in our community who thirst for the love of Christ. It has been an incredible journey of connection and service. We're discovering that serving others and sharing the love of Christ not only impacts those around us, but also fills our hearts with joy and love. There's a unique blessing that comes from pouring ourselves into the lives of others. In the midst of having the care for our neighbors on the forefront of the ministry, we have experienced God move in many ways. Just recently, after dropping some flowers off to a resident who recently moved in, I received a text from her expressing her gratitude as a kiss from God after telling us that she had received some troubling news from her family out west. The simple act of delivering a bouquet of flowers had opened the door for the gospel to step in. If I could leave you with one thought today, it would be this. If you're considering ministry but feel unsure about where to start or hesitant to take that leap, I encourage you to pray. Ask God how you can contribute to growing His kingdom. Remember, you don't have to travel overseas to share Christ with others. If we all take the love that Christ has shared with us and extend it to our neighbors, imagine the revival we can spark right here in the Space Coast. Our mission in this life is simple yet powerful: to be disciples who make disciples. Sharing the love that Christ has shown us, let's embrace the grace we've received and pass it on. Thank you, and may God bless each one of you as you seek to serve and love those around you.
Amen. Amen. So I can just sit down now because the sermon has been preached, right? No, we just want to pray for y'all before y'all step down. They have a young son, and so this really is their family just planting themselves among our community with purpose and an intention of sharing the gospel. So we pray. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for Dylan. Thank you for Victoria and their home that has been placed as an example for us. And thank you for speaking so clearly to them that they could say yes to you. And Lord, as they are at the very beginnings of that yes, thank you that we see and we hear in their voice and see in their countenance and their smile and even their eyes an expectancy of you to do something that you've said that you would do. And Lord, we pray that you would protect them. We pray there would be more opportunities for flowers to come at the right time, conversations to open up at the right time. Lord, that the seed planting and the tilling of the soil by your Spirit, and Lord, that there would be fruit that we'd be bore over these years that would be a testimony of a calling that you had on their life that they heard and they said yes to. Thank you for their lives. Thank you that they're among us as an example and a teacher. And Lord, we now, knowing their story, become their prayer warriors. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Would you say thank you to the Lord? Amen. And listen, God isn't just at work on Cascade Circle or Magnolia Avenue. He wants his love through you to reach everyone where you live, where you work, where you learn, and where you play. If you were to do that list, that has to be a long list, right? But the Lord just wants you to start one by one. He's placed you where you are for a purpose, and that is for his love to be shown through you. On this first Sunday of Mission Conference, we love this week. We've never quite had a mission conference like this that we're having this week with the storm coming, but it is only one that can focus our heart all the more on how much God has a heart for our neighbors. And may we leave this place knowing that God has placed us where he has placed us for a reason, not just because we liked the house, but he has placed us beside people, and he loves people. Next Sunday, we'll give our full attention to how God's heart is for the nations. But for right now, let's do our passage for this morning. That's 1 John 4, 7 through 12. And I want to ask you to do something. If you don't mind, just stand to your feet. We're going to quote this together. And in light of the storm that is here, that is in front of us, I want us to listen to these words, to this passage, in a very unique and intentional way for our community, that we can gain an understanding and a confidence and an assurance inside of our hearts that the Lord has called us for one thing, and they will know us by one thing. And what is that one thing? By our love. By our love. So let's read this out loud together. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. Thank you. You may be seated. One of the reasons I wanted you to stand and read that is because of that two-letter word, us. That was written that we would understand it together, and may that occur this morning. This passage, as we read it, it's beautiful, isn't it? It's beautiful. It's powerful. But it is also filled with this sense of urgency of one thing, and that is to respond to God's love. But there's a temptation when we get into a passage like this that begins with let us love one another and it ends with let us love one another. We want to jump straight there, don't we? But before we go there, let's first do something else. Let's first focus our minds and let's anchor our hearts in the profound truths that we find in God's love. This is going to be our starting point for this morning. And I have to share with you that I've lived inside of this. I've made this just a part of my quiet time every single morning. And as often when I'm doing my quiet time, sometimes I just start sketching things. I am not an artist, but I can draw circles. All right, so that's what I've done. So throughout the morning, I just want to be able to share some of those sketches with you and give you some of you inside of my quiet time and what the Lord was doing in me through this. And we begin with a very simple truth. God's word is built upon simple truths. And in this simple truth, it is also filled with something that's very profound. And I believe this simple truth, we will spend an eternity discovering and enjoying its depth. And this is that simple truth. God is love. And inside of that question came to my mind of when we say God is love, a question came, is it God's essence or is it God's attribute? And very quickly, I arrived at the answer is yes. The answer is yes. And the reason the answer is yes becomes a beautiful understanding of God himself. It is both part of his essence and it is one of his attributes. The word essence means a fundamental core nature of something. The Apostle John writes this with such simplicity that even a child could understand God is love. But it holds profound truth inside of it. Listen, love is who God always is. There's not a moment that he is not love. It's not simply how he relates to us. And it's not simply how he responds to a certain circumstance. Love is always who God is. It's at the very core of his nature. And the thing that blows my mind, it's at the core of his nature, and it is never in conflict with the other parts of his nature. It works in complete unison. But love is also an attribute of God. The word attribute means the inherent quality or characteristic of something. Listen, this is so a God who is love would not hold his love far, far away from us. But instead, God extends his love to us. He doesn't keep it hidden in the heavens far away. But love comes down to us. Love relates to you and to me. And just like his essence, the other attributes of God, like justice and perfection and righteousness, they don't diminish his love, but it exists in perfect harmony. And I know that can be a lot to take in. So let me give you an example that may make it a little bit easier to understand. I want you to consider the sun. Not the S-O-N, but the S-U-N. The sun. At its essence, the sun is light. But the sun also gives forth light, right? So in its essence of light, it becomes known as an attribute when what it is, light, hits our face and we feel its warmth. Or when the sun that is light rises and it breaks through the darkness. And in the exact same way, God is love. And his love emanates, who he is, emanates to us as an attribute. And it transforms our life. So God is love. But what kind of love is it? I think we can mess up so quickly when we attach our own understanding of common words like love. This is where we get really tripped up. So let me first tell you something that you will completely understand of what God's love is not. God's love is not like the world's love. The world's love is an imperfect version. And no matter how hard the world tries, and let me make that personal for you, no matter how hard you try in your flesh to love, it will always come with strings attached. It will always have this flavor of being conditional. It will always have this seed of self-serving, and it will always be short-lived. God's love is not like the world's love. Can you say amen?
Amen.
His love is the highest form of love that only He is. It transcends all of human frailty and sin and imperfections. It is pure and it is holy. Listen, three words. The agape love of God is this. It's unconditional. That is good news. It is freely given without any requirement or expectation. God is love. It's not only unconditional, it's sacrificial. It's a love that puts others first. His love put you first at a great personal cost. It cost His Son's life. And I love this third element. It's determined. It is always seeking the highest good, no matter what the circumstances are. So I know that was a lot. But can you understand and agree with me of how important it is that we agree together what love is? Because if we mess that up, if we start in the wrong place, we will be striving to love because of the things we think the Bible is saying. We will make our obedience according to our definition of a word love. And we will fall into a ditch. How many understand what I just said? The rest of you, I will find you in the ditch soon. But listen, when we start with God, who are you? What is your love? It starts in a place that we understand that God wants to love others through us. The second truth of the morning flows out of the first very naturally, and that is love is from God. God alone. This is where we have to rewire our brain to believe what is true and not adapt it and apply it in ways that it starts to water itself down. God alone is the source of true love. Do you agree?
Yes.
If He is the source of true love, then any love we share must come and flow through Him, right? And because of that, because it has one source, true love demands an evidence, and it will always have a proof that it is genuine in that. God just didn't declare, "I am love." What did He do? He demonstrated it, right? He demonstrated His great love. And the ultimate evidence of that demonstration is found in verse 9. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world. Why? Because His love, so that we might live through Him. Listen, Jesus is God's only Son, and He alone is the complete and perfect demonstration of God's love. Can you see His unconditional love that He sent His only Son to a world, to us who were dead in our trespasses? Can you see His sacrificial love when He sent His only Son to give His life for our sins? And God's determined love that was manifested His only Son among us. Why? So that we might live through Him. So here comes the question of my heart. With such a great invitation to such a magnificent love, why does anyone ever refuse it? Why did you refuse it until you saw it? Verse 8 is very sobering because it is telling us that when people reject God's love, they are rejecting God Himself. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Now make no mistake that those who turn away from God are still in desperate need for love. They try, we have tried, every imaginable source to find a love that will satisfy our need, but we always end up, this world always end up with a distorted and empty version of what they call love. Only God is love, right? So until they know him, until we know him, our attempts will fail again and again and again and again. And as some of you hear my words right now, your heart is pounding within you, and you are saying, that is me. I want to be loved. And I have tried everything, and I feel more unloved on this moment than I have ever felt. I feel empty of love because I have never known true love. If this is you, if you are online listening or you are in this room and that is you, would you listen closer than you've ever listened? Because I have some good, no, I have some great news that I'm about to say. Because when we believe and when we receive this gift of this next truth that I'm about to say, everything changes. Everything. The third truth is this: God so loved us. Does that take your breath away? Verse 10, in this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, for God so loved you and you and you and you. And all of those yous make up the us. For God so loved us. God's love loved you while you were still dead in your filthy garment of sin. He loved you when you were that prodigal flailing in the pig pen of your own rebellious choices. God loved you when you were pursuing sexual immorality, when you spoke profane words, when you gossiped, and when you slandered. God loved you in your own heart's idolatry, your greed, your malice, and your arrogance. He loved you in your hypocrisy and your prejudices, and in your disobedience and unrepentance. God loves you. He loved you so much that he sent his only son, to make a way for you not to remain dead in your life and in your sin, but alive in him. God did that. His love accomplished that. The word describing that saving act of God is beautifully placed in propitiation. Propitiation is where God's love and God's justice met on Christ's cross. God's love sent his son, Jesus, to take the punishment God's justice required for every sin. Every sin that you're thinking of right now. It was God's love that put Jesus on the cross and not you and not me. And it was God's justice that placed all of those sins that we're thinking of right now on Christ. Jesus became sin for you and you and you. Jesus became sin for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for our sake he made him, God made his son, Jesus, to be sin who knew no sin. So that in Jesus, in him, we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus' crucified blood satisfied God's justice. and made peace between us and God. Listen, because of Jesus, because of God's love manifested in Christ, we are forgiven. Do you feel the weight of that just release? We are forgiven. And not just forgiven. You know what he calls you? Beloved. His love names you beloved. So friend, if you were in that place of searching for love, if you will place your faith in Christ, you will find the love that your heart says exists, and it does, but it is only in one source, and that is Jesus himself. All that you've ever been searching for will be found in Christ. And we end this morning with a fourth and final truth. God abides in us. 1 John 4:12 says, "No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us." When I read this, I just think of the relentless love of God. It is relentless, pursuing what his love desires, and that is to be known, and that we know that he knows us. Listen to the simple progression and how it builds. God is love. Love is from God. So God so loved us. And this becomes the incredible part. God didn't just manifest his son and show us love. He placed love within us. He gave us a capacity to do something that only he can do. The very agape love of God resides in you. Romans 5:5 says this, "God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." The proof that God really lives us is found in 1 John 4:7 and 12. It says this, "Whoever loves has been born of God." You can't love unless you've been born of God. "Whoever loves knows God." They know that his love is both his essence and his attributes. They know that God just doesn't pull out the card of love and divvy it out when he wants to. That makes him a God that is cruel. He is love. They know that God abides within them. They know that there is nothing that they can do of love that is not coming from Christ himself who loves within us. And they also know that God's love is perfected within. He being perfect in his nature as well as being love has not given us a soiled version of love, but the perfection of love itself, and it's teaching us. It's guiding us. It's living itself out from us. Listen, God has not kept his love silent, right? So God's love inside of you will not be silent. And although verse 12 says that no one has ever seen God, his love will be seen through Christ's life and active love in you. In the center of Main Street is a Hoosier One column of testimonies. I think as pastors, we would get fearful that because it's always there, we never see it anymore. But at its reason for being there is one that we don't want to lose. It is a very simple way that can demonstrate, that can manifest the love of God and represent that. If you've not been out there or you're visiting with us, you'll see something that looks just like this. And what it represents is the one person, That one person that God has laid on our heart that we're just going to call a neighbor right now, that's our neighbor, and we pray for them. And we are praying for an opportunity not only to share the gospel, but to be the gospel in their lives. And the second part that is hanging is when that the Lord opens up that opportunity to be able to share the gospel, no matter what their response, that we get to share the gospel with that one, we attach a little cross, a red cross. And then if you see a heart, a big heart that's hanging there, that represents a new creation in Christ, that this one has been laid on someone's heart and prayed for, that this one has been shared the gospel, and this one has said yes to Jesus. These little pendants, they're always out there. There's not someone monitoring it, not someone giving them out. It's always out there. And we encourage you as pastors, when God puts a person on your heart, hang a one. I know Renee is all the time making new ones because we run out. We love that.
Yes.
I ask you, make us run out. Make Renee's full-time job doing pendants. She would hate that. But we would love that. So embrace that. And represented in that column of testimonies out there, is one story I want you to hear. It's a perfect example of what it looks like when God's love abides within a heart. I want to invite Ken and Sabrina Sevier up and for them to be able to tell you a story that I know that you're going to love hearing. Would you welcome Ken and Sabrina, please?
Thank you and good morning. As Pastor said, my name is Ken Sevier and this is my wife, Sabrina. We've been asked to share what Lord has been doing, leading us to do. 3 years ago, we moved from Cincinnati, Ohio, to Titusville, Florida. As we got settled in, we started to notice the large amount of homeless people in our area. One gentleman stood out and caught our attention. We noticed that he would sit in the grass by the woods, but never hold a sign or ask for anything. My wife had many conversations regarding this gentleman, as he was different than the other people that we had seen. We'd often wondered, what is his story? As we continued to pray about what God would have us to do, we knew that we didn't have the resources to help everyone, but we knew we could make a difference in at least one person's life. On July 14th, 2023, we were on our way home and noticed Jerry was sitting out by the woods in the grass. My wife said, "Let's stop by and introduce ourselves and see if there was anything that we could do for him." This happened to be a very special day for Jerry. It was his 61st birthday. Jerry had given us a short list of things that he needed and that he hadn't had anything to eat that day. We went and gathered the things he requested along with dinner, and Jerry expressed his gratitude, and we told him that we would stay in touch. This was the beginning of our journey with Jerry.
Jerry's appearance spoke to us as he was 61, very thin. I made it my mission to try to put weight on him with some good home-cooked meals. My mother always taught me that the way to a man's heart was through his stomach. Kenny can attest to that. When dropping off meals to Jerry, he stated, "My cooking was better than his mom," but he would always say, Don't let my mom know I said this." That was that Southern cooking at its best.
Absolutely. As we started building our relationship with Jerry, we invited him out to church on several occasions. Jerry visited here on two occasions. One was a men's Bible study night and a fellowship night. As Jerry got more comfortable with us, he started to share things with us, like how his mother took him to church as he was growing up. Jerry always spoke very highly of his mom and dad, and that he came from a good family. He felt like he was the black sheep of the family. Jerry introduced us to his mother, who is a very sweet lady. She told us that Jerry does not have to live in the woods. that he left to go camping one day and never came home. When we heard this, we took a step back to pray and make sure that what we were doing with Jerry was the right thing to do, since he was choosing to live in this situation. During this time away, Sabrina was out with our friend Kay, and they saw an ambulance in the area where Jerry would sometimes sit at a local gas station. Kay said to Sabrina, "Do you think something happened to Jerry?" So they stopped, and sure enough, Jerry had been hit by a truck, which left the scene, and Jerry had always told us that if anything ever happened to him, to make sure to let his mother know. Jerry had a fractured hip and had to have emergency surgery. We notified his family at this time.
Kenny and I, along with our friends David and Kay, would visit him in the hospital. On one of our visits, we brought him flowers. On the next visit, I asked him, I said, "Jerry, what happened to your flowers?" He said, "Oh, I sent them home to my mother," which I thought was very sweet. We would pray with him and encourage him during his hospital stay. Jerry always had a sense of humor. He said to us, he felt like he was on vacation. He had AC, TV, 3 meals a day, and a moving bed. He would always express his gratitudes for our visits and our prayers.
During our card and prayer night that we have with our close friends David and Kay, we were sharing about what God had been doing in our ministry with Jerry. David, in turn, shared how he worked with a homeless ministry in Tennessee. His insight is a blessing to the ministry with Jerry. Jerry now has become a part of our extended family. One day when dropping off lunch, I asked Jerry about going to breakfast at Denny's and having a Bible study with Dave and I. Jerry agreed, and on the day of the Bible study, he changed his mind. After David and I showed up, Jerry said that he was not comfortable leaving his camp. So on the way to Denny's, I asked David if he was up to doing the Bible study in the woods. David, without hesitation, said yes. So we went to Denny's and brought back the breakfast and the Bible study to his camp in the woods. You see, sometimes when you work for the Lord, you must get out of your comfort zone to reach souls. It was my intentions to sit in Denny's and minister to Jerry and teach Jerry about the Lord. But the Lord had other plans, so we sat in the woods in a camp with Jerry and ministered to him where we were surrounded by Florida's finest mosquitoes. Jerry wanted to learn about the Sermon on the Mount, which is what his mother told him what he needed to study. This was the beginning of our Denny's breakfast and Bible studies that we continue to have with Jerry in his camp. We started in Matthew 5, 1 through 14. As we would read the word and share with Jerry, he would start sharing more about his life with us. Each month, we learned more about Jerry's story and what has made him who he is today. Together, Jerry, David, and I have learned about being salt and light of the world. 1 John 4:17, this is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. We are committed to having this Bible study with Jerry and providing meals and meeting his needs. Jerry is being lifted up to the Lord during our biweekly prayer time that the four of us have in our homes. We have seen the Holy Spirit move in Jerry's life. At first, he saw us as someone who was meeting his needs to being friends, and now he sees us as family. As we are mentoring to Jerry, the Lord has shown us sometimes people just need to be loved where they are and to look past outward appearances, because inside we all have a heart and want to be loved. 1 John 4:10, we love because he first loved us. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, guys. Thank y'all. Thank you. We are so thankful for all that God is doing. And just think, the person beside you might have a story too. And we need to share our stories because it gives God a lot of glory. And it begs the question for us as we end this morning. Beloved, will you love one another? We leave this place this morning with the most practical of opportunities to love. For see, when we hear the truths that we've heard, it begs for a response. It has to have a response. We either refuse it or we accept it. So will you love? In just a second, Pastor Titus is going to come up and give you some modifications of our events for this week. And one of those modifications is going to be that we're canceling tonight's opportunity at 4 o'clock. We're doing that for two different reasons. One, so that you can prepare to be safe and fill your pantry and all those things that we know will become harder with every day that passes. And as the rain is coming more intensely in these coming days, we want you to have a safe opportunity to do that. So we're canceling tonight. But we're doing it also for a more significant reason. And that is, this storm represents an opportunity for everything that we're talking about this morning, for it to have an application for our own lives with our own neighbors. I think it's in God's providence and his kindness to let us sit inside of this passage this morning before the storms hit, so we can make a choice, so that we can make a commitment that our response would be to fulfill this command that he has said to his beloved, and that is, love one another. So when you go and leave this place and you go and fill up your gas tank and there's a mile-long line, love your neighbor. When you go to Publix and Aldi's and there is no toilet paper left, or worse yet, there is one roll left, love your neighbor. Listen, give the love of God that abides within you a chance. Defer to his love. Let it display itself, just like Ken and Sabrina. Let it display itself. There are Jerrys all over our community that have all kind of different stories, and the Lord may be calling